Let us now continue by singing hymn number 302. Hymn 302, tune King's College, number 716. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. Hymn number 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, the crowd it will be found,
Amen. the Lord may help, I would direct your attention to to Psalm 89 and verse 15. Psalm 89 and verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Sometimes situations force themselves upon us which make it very, very clear that in this world of sorrow, whatever aspect, whatever view we may take of it, there is everything to distress and little, if anything, to give joy at all. There are surely many things that people call joy in the world, yet that joy is tinged with sorrow. And as soon as the moment of apparent pleasure has passed, they sink perhaps into despair. I believe it is true to say that some of those people, sad people they are, who occupation is to make the people laugh on the stage if they were to be seen. At other times, in the seclusion of their own place, a home, we should see that they were very depressed and very sad. And is it not true that this can be so? You can perhaps remember, perhaps in former days with some of you, how what you considered to be a wonderful night out, yet it soon lost its joy. And you soon return to the sad place of wanting something which you could not obtain. But amongst all these situations, there are a few people whom God has chosen to salvation, who may certainly know all such experiences and be under depressions and be cast down by reason of the way, yet by a very mysterious working of God they discover that they know a joyful sound. I suppose it may be said that even in respect to natural things there are bells of joy which are rung out sometimes on particular occasions, and they are a joyful sound. There are times when perhaps people have been saved in a shipwreck and so on, and there has been a joyful sound as lifeboat men have returned. But all these things are only for this time. And therefore they pass away quickly. But there is a joyful sound which are known to a people that are blessed. It does not say here, blessed are God's people that know the joyful sound, because it may be that with some they would be resistant to make the claim that they were God's people at all. But it does say, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So that if in the house of God today you may hear the joyful sound of the gospel, you haven't got to denominate the point as to whether you are a child of God, your name is written in heaven, valuable are these things, but there's something taken place in your soul that has responded to the joyful sound of the everlasting gospel. And the word says here, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So we may come down to this point to say and ask you as to whether you can say, I do know the joyful sound. Now it would be a wonderful thing if you were very distressed and uncertain on many points relative to your soul's salvation, but you could come in with the blind man who said, one thing I know. He said that he could see. But you may say, one thing I know. I know the joyful sound. Well, truth has been conveyed to you. Do you know the joyful sound? The sound of Jesus Christ being able to save sinners even unto the uttermost. And so, the Word of God says here, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. How are they blessed? They are blessed, obviously, with the life of God in their souls. They are blessed with all the benefits of the new birth. Because without this, they could not possibly know the joyful sound. So whatever our feelings may be this morning, whether we are cast down with some doubts and fears and anxieties, and as we read in the scriptures, we cannot see our signs. Well, do not look for many signs always, but look for one sign. And that one sign is, do we rejoice when we hear the gospel, when we hear the joyful sound? We can recognize it. And you can recognize it anywhere. If the gospel is preached in church or chapel, then the joyful sound, if it is there, well, what a blessing belongs to you if you can recognize it. And if you should be, as it were, in the street, and some meetings that are held by some people in the streets, you listened, there was a joyful sound. There was the power of the gospel. You recognize it, and you rejoice because of it. And so, we have here this great truth. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, may God help me this morning to look at some of the people that do know the joyful sound. And to make it clear to you that if you do on these accounts, then you are a blessed person. Not everybody is concerned about hearing the joyful sound. But we read of various characters in the scriptures who are troubled. Troubled, have come to the house of God, could be one of you are in this particular situation this morning where your sins lay heavy on your soul, and you've looked at them so much and so hard that's all you can see. And as you come to the house of God, you do not expect to see anything else. You came with your sin, you expect to go away with your sin, because your sin seems to be irremovable. Well, is there a joyful sound? It will be a wonderful occasion, if God could speak by his power, and the joyful sound is always accompanied by God's power, where he may say to you that your sins are forgiven. Now you see, dear friends, until that is sealed upon our hearts, and we are given a good hope through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins are put away, then what a joyful sound that is when it comes to us. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to be just an associate person in the world, just a person that might find it comfortable living in the world. No, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, in other words, as many as heard the joyful sound, then he they were called sons and daughters of the Most High. So then, the people, distressed, cast down, blinded by their own sins, what a joyful sound it will be if through the preaching of the gospel they may look up in hope, and they may say, who can tell, but God will speak wonderful words to me and tell me that, vile as I am, without one plea except this, that I need thy salvation. And I venture to say that if this is so with you, you'll be listening. You'll be listening, hanging upon every word that the preacher might speak, or the chapter that might be read, the hymns that might be sung, or the prayers that might have been presented in your hearing, to see whether there will be any joyful sound. It is an experience of God's children, particularly in the early stages of the new life, the life of God in the soul, which will make them anxious. If sin be put away, I'm secure. Now, perhaps some of you might feel insecure, but you can never be comfortable living in insecurity. Even in natural things, we desire to have things as secure as we can. But blessed is the people that know the joyful sound that makes them secure, that makes them feel that they are secure, that makes them feel that Christ has cast a look on them, that makes them feel that Christ has a favour toward them. It may well be that your soul at times, as you come to the house of God, might be breathed forth in such a term as this: Lord, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. And in other words, what are you really looking for except to hear the joyful sound? You see, there are many that would have been in the crowds and multitudes that followed the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon the earth. There were a few. They were not interested in the joyful sound. They were more interested in the loaves and the fishes and seeing the miracles. But there were some. Oh, there were some that heard the joyful sound. And surely, on the day of Pentecost, this was an occasion when there were many that heard the joyful sound. And they were those that felt condemned. do we feel condemned concerning our sins? Well, in hymn 808, the longest hymn in our hymn book, 802, there is this word toward, this verse toward the end. Sins against the holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane, here's my claim, and here alone none a saviour more can need. Deeds of righteousness I've none, no, not one good work to plead, not a glimpse of hope for me, only in Gethsemane. You've heard the name of Gethsemane a good many times, I expect, and perhaps you've thought about the agonies of the Lord in Gethsemane and had your and put your mental idea upon it, which of course is far removed from the truth. But now, Mr. Hart in this hymn, he points out that Gethsemane means much more than a political place, a place which is named on the map. Yes, it is a place where hope springs up, where the poor sinner has nothing at all, absolutely bereft of everything. All hope that we should be saved has disappeared. And it is such an experience that the people of God have sometimes, and not always, and only in the early stages. We can quickly be greatly depressed, and Satan may come in like a flood, and be the enemy that comes in like a flood, and fills us with such confusion that we wonder where we are. But Mr. Hart goes on, Saviour, all the stone remove from my flinty frozen heart, thaw it with the beams of love, pierce it with the blood-dipped dart, wound the heart that wounded thee, melted in Gethsemane. And then becomes the last verse. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love, hymned by all the heavenly host in thy shining courts above, we poor sinners, gracious three, that is the Trinity, bless thee for Gethsemane. And from that scene of sadness, and a Saviour that is suffering so much, in a strange way, it becomes a joyful joyful sound to sinners in distress. Suddenly, their eyes by the Spirit of God are fixed upon this matchless scene of grace. It is Jesus in the sinner's place. What does that, how does that affect you? Are you amongst the people that know the joyful sound? Have you been in distress? Unexpectedly, perhaps. And you recently, might have been this morning, and confused, and seem to be far removed from everything that's good, and you'll come to the house of God with this on your lips and your heart. Is there a joyful sound in all this misery that I seem to be weltering in at the moment? Is there a joyful sound? Now, some people, you know what this is. They've come and they've heard a joyful sound. And the joyful sound must necessarily point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to think upon the scene at Calvary, the joyful sound. Are thy sins beyond recounting, like the sand the ocean laves? He of life is the fountain, he unto the utmost saves. So then, a joyful sound. A joyful sound is something that is responsive to something else, but it comes suddenly. Do not think that the real things in religion are gradual build-up. It could be that there's a building down when you feel more deeply and yet more deeply your sin. But when the sound comes, the joyful sound, which produces hope, which produces the exercise of faith, suddenly springing up in your hearts, it's the joyful sound. We might go to think of the shepherds that were in the fields when the Lord Jesus was born at Bethlehem. And you see what an effect it had upon them. An effect worth following in and desiring to be the matter the same in our own cases. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And it was a joyful sound. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. If we are amongst a situation which seems to be best described as being far removed from peace, what a wonderful experience will be ours if we hear this joyful sound. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And this is one of the effects that will prove that you have a quickened spirit, and that you know the joyful sound, because a quickened spirit will always be seeking after peace. Peace. And it will be a wonderful joy, wonderful sound if you hear peace, because the Word of God says, There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. No peace. And if any of you might be deeply distressed that you cannot find any peace, and you number yourselves down amongst the wicked, because the Word of God says they find no peace, and therefore perhaps you go so far as to look on the black side and say, well, that settles it. I'm amongst the wicked. Now, what a joyful sound that will be to you when you hear something that speaks to you of peace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts saying, Peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this had an effect upon these shepherds. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go unto Bethlehem." The joyful sound stirred them. And whatever other point you may consider as so necessary if you're going to be numbered amongst the children of God, yet here is a point that stirred them. They heard the joyful sound. And therefore they said, "Now, not tomorrow, but now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us." And it was a joyful sound. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Well, wonderful. If we should find, even at this particular season of the year, the joyful sound. A joyful sound which sounds aloud from Calvary. And if we go to the other end of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall find some of the things that escaped the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ just before he gave up the ghost. And two of them are well worth our remembering. First of all, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've often thought that many of our sins are committed and we do not know what we're really doing. We may be making a bad effect on another person. We may think it is a good word of encouragement. It could be a word of discouragement. That's just one example. They know not what they do. Now, what great sinners we are. And would we recognize this joyful sound if we had already come to the conclusion that we didn't know what we did? We had no idea of sin or the consequences of sin, far-reaching though they may be to other people. But God knew. And he looked down from the cross, whilst he was in his agonies, he looked at the people, as he looked at you, and said, "Father, forgive them, forgive them." And what a joyful sound, forgiveness. 'Tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. So then it is a joyful sound that here is one that understands. You know, one of the outstanding features that contrasts with everyone else is that he understands. Jesus always understands. Do you hear that joyful sounds? I understand. And I believe there are experiences with God's people where he seems to speak to them just in those words, or at least in the thought of them. I understand. If we are in spiritual distress, who can understand? Who can get beneath the surface? You see, I've often thought myself, when people say, as they do sometimes, "I know how you feel." Now, that's not possible. We may say so, but people have said that to me, and they haven't known what I felt at all. And particularly, how can they feel the anger's distressing moments
of our poor hangry bosom, troubled by reason of the things that are felt in their souls. Feel. They know not what they do. And sometimes it is a matter of this consideration, so distressing. You've done something. You've said something. You can't undo it. You can't say, well, I didn't do it. You can't say, I didn't say it. Now, it would be a wonderful word, a joyful word, surely, if the Lord should say, as your intercessor, your Saviour, they know not what they do. My Father, forgive them. Their Father, forgive them. Oh, they're so helpless and so unaware of the workings of sin in their members. What a wonderful thing then, if, distressed as you may be, standing by the cross at Calvary, you hear these words, by faith, conveyed by the power of the Spirit of God into your heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're not likely to get that kind of sympathy from human beings, are you? They're more likely to criticize you and load you with further guilt, if they could. But no, here is a joyful sound. And is it so that any of you have been just in this spot this morning? Of course, I cannot tell because I do not know. It is an individual experience. But do you know the joyful sound in a gracious experience? But there's another word to which I would direct your attention, and that is the final words, it is finished. Is it a joyful sound? What is finished? What is finished? All the ceremonial law, that's finished. The bulls and the goats and the lambs, what was slain, there was a remembrance of sin every year. They could not take away sin. But this man, after he had suffered once, sat down at the right hand of God, there to intercede for his people still. The people that know the joyful sound. Well, the Word of God tells us that they're blessed. Satan can often distract us by saying, well, there are several things that you've got to decide first. And he will say, are you an elect person? Because if you're not, it's no use saying you've heard the joyful sound because you haven't. Do you know anything about this experience or that experience? Because if you haven't, you're not one of the people of God, clearly. But here is a point which Satan cannot cast out, the joyful sound. It's affected my heart. It might have even made me leap for joy. Leap for joy. Perhaps some of you have read John Warburton's Mercies, and in that book he recounts his own personal experience, and I would judge that he was quite an emotional man. And on one occasion, the Lord spoke to him and filled his heart with joy. And he was in the country at the time, and he went into a field and he danced up and down and sang to the Lord praises for the blessing that he had enjoyed from God himself. Now, what is it that followed. Well, Satan came to him and he said, I did that. I did that. Oh, is Satan going to give you a joyful sound that will bring you hope of salvation? John Warburton, in the wisdom that was given to him, he said, right, if you did it, Satan, you do it again. And of course he couldn't. And if you should be tempted by Satan himself, that your joy was the result of the devil's work, you do it again. Now this spiritual joy, which is known to God's people and only to God's people, is something which cannot be counterfeited. Many things are counterfeited in life, many things. And of course in this, the charismatic movements that we hear so much about from time to time, well, it's all joy. But it's the work of the devil. And if it's the work of the devil, then that part he can repeat. But the joy that brings salvation, the joy that brings peace, and this is the point, the joy that brings peace, peace by his cross, hath Jesus made the church's everlasting head. It is something which I can only mention to you, but which you will know if God visits your soul with his salvation. If he says peace, it will be peace. And you will remember the legacy that the Lord left, and he refers to it in the 14th chapter of John, when he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, God's peace. God's peace is a lasting peace. And even if the power of it seems to go from you, it will be a peace that is inscribed upon your heart. It will be a joyful occasion. And real joyful occasions are those that are remembered. And certainly the spiritual joyful occasions are those that are remembered. Now, are you the people? Now let us look at this word. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. It doesn't say anything else about they're blessed on this one point. They know the joyful sound. There's no reference to their being the people of God. There's no reference to even their being their names being written in heaven. There's no reference to their being numbered amongst the elect. But there is this thing, that they know the joyful sound. And you see the shepherds, when they heard the joyful sound, they said, let us go now and see this great thing that has brought to us a joyful sound. A joyful sound. Jesus contracted to a span. And yet, his shoulders held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him. And to these shepherds, it was a joyful sound. It was not a joyful sound only to their outward ears, but it was a joyful sound to their inward ears. And it affected their whole being. Do we know anything about the joyful sound? If you do, and you may not be able to describe it, But if you do know, because you have felt that the Lord is your Savior, yes, you have felt it's been such a wonderful word, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It was a sermon preached from that text that compelled me to come and make application to be baptized. It wasn't any relation to baptism at all, but it was because of the joyful sound. Then it was a joyful sound, if I might just mention another case in my own experience. It was a joyful sound when a servant of God gave out his text from the 35th of Isaiah, and these are the words: "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come," and I can hear the force of it now, "and save you." It was a joyful sound to me that night. A joyful sound. I believe it was the first time I ever heard the joyful sound through the preaching of the gospel. But it was a joyful sound. And though I could not at that time go into all the kind of supporting theories of what the people of God passed through and how they have the witness of the Lord in their own souls and that they are chosen of God and so on, there was one thing that was a joyful sound to me. He will come and save you. Now, I don't suppose a pastor at that time realized that he had put such an emphasis on this word "you," but he did to me, and God put that word of emphasis upon that word "you." Oh, what a joyful sound that was. There was nothing that I could say that, well, of course, I'm one of the children of God. No. This was at the very beginning. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. He will come and save you. So there is hope. So there is hope. When that will be worked out and the blessing of salvation will be sealed in your soul is in God's hands. But God has said he'll come and save you. And he will save you from your sins, whatever they are. And what's more, he will save you from yourself. And he will save you from trusting in yourself. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. And why did the hymn writer say that? Surely it was a result of the person being blessed that heard the joyful sound. We will go even to Bethlehem with the people of Nineveh. You see, it was a joyful sound that was preached by Jonah. We haven't the full sermon, obviously. The fact that Jonah went through and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," surely wasn't a joyful sound at all. But there must have been something else in Jonah's sermon that gave them hope. And they said, "Who can tell? Who can tell? But God will turn and be gracious unto us." And they were obviously affected because they put on sackcloth and ashes, these people in Nineveh. So the law, so to speak, went home. But the law condemns. Is there any possibility with that holy law, with that law which doesn't move? It doesn't move. And if I make one small slip, whoso is guilty in one point is guilty of all. There's no joyful sound here. But there is. If their eyes, so to speak, are removed from the terrors of the law to the sweetness and fullness of gospel truth, thou a sinner near despair, nevertheless, here is the great truth, the joyful sound. Hope, hope. God is faithful. Hope. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When you're sinking, that in itself will be a joyful sound. When I lower and lower I every day fell, he stretched forth his power and snatched me from hell. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? And may you not say, or fear to say, I'm amongst the children of God. But are you blessed? And which you are, if you've heard the joyful sound. And if you've heard the joyful sound, one of the results must be that you will hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Keep on hoping in God. Looking for the time when that which has been spoken will be performed in your own soul. We have those words, you know, in the prophecy of Habakkuk, which are remarkable. Third chapter, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet unto upon Sigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, and make known in wrath. Remember mercy. And as we read elsewhere, in the previous verse, I will stand upon my previous chapter, I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Notice what follows, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And you may look forward to God's working, God's appearing, and God's blessing, and in the end, landing you safe above for a long eternity to spend in singing God is love. Amen.
Let us close by singing hymn number 788, hymn 788, tune Syria, number 520. Come, ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain, cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven. Glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. Hymn number 788.
Come ye humble sinner train,
Jesus Christ, the Father's love, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and ever. Amen.